Okay, today's date is August 20th, 2010. I'm Patsy Colbert, and I'm here at the History Center with Mr. Maurice Jones. And we're going to do an oral history interview today about the H.G. Temple High School and the Temple Tigers. And Mr. Jones, if we could just begin and tell me when and where you were born.
I was born in Lufkin, Texas in 1947.
Okay, and who are your parents?
Vera and Marcellus Jones.
Okay, and what did your father do for a living?
He worked at a dry cleaner's.
And he was the owner of that after some point, wasn't he? Did he?
He worked at a dry cleaner's from time he got out the Army up until 69 or 70 when he built his own cleaner's.
Okay. And what was the name of his business?
Dieball Cleaners.
Okay. And so what year did you start to school?
I started school in, had to be 1950, let's see, 40, 54.
Okay. And did you start school at the Dieball Colored School?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, or the Temple School?
Temple School.
Okay. So you're born in Lufkin, but have you lived in Dieball most of your life?
All my life.
All your life. Okay. And did your mother work?
Yes, she worked during the earlier part of the year. She did babysitting and housework.
Okay.
And then later on in the year, she hooked up with Temple and started working for Temple.
Okay. And what year did you graduate?
In 1966.
And you graduated from H.G. Temple High School?
Yes.
Okay. And what activities did you participate in at H.G. Temple?
I played football, basketball, and ran track.
Okay. And we know from the photograph, and we're looking at it, the 1966 H.G. Temple Tiger football team, and you were on this team. This was the last year of the Temple Tigers.
Right.
Before integration. And tell me, you graduated in 66.
Mm-hmm.
And so you played under which coaches did you play under?
I started out up under Herbert Allen. Matter of fact, when I was in the 7th and the 8th grade, I played on the high school team. But I couldn't suit up. They used me for practice bay.
Okay. Okay.
And, but I got to be a freshman in high school. I played first-string middle linebacker.
Okay. Well, we know from the records that the Temple Tigers were a great team. They had an outstanding record. And so tell me just a little bit about your football days at H.G. Temple.
Well, I started out in the 7th and 8th grade as a 7th and 8th grade at practice bay. But the practice bay, they used to call us the chain gang. You know, that was the name that they called us. And that's just what we were. We was a chain gang. We would work on the first teamers. We would hit them so hard that we had the Coach Allen jumping up and down. Don't hit Don D. Berry like that. You know, because Don was a star athlete back then. But we would put his ankles where it was supposed to be. we were some hard-hitting little rascals.
Okay.
But the coldest part about it is that we had to play 48 minutes. We didn't come out the game. Couldn't come out the game. See what I'm saying?
You played straight.
Both ways.
For that amount of time.
Yeah. All the way through.
Was that because you didn't have any relief players or enough
to
make the team?
No relief players. No relief players, enough guys to make the team.
Okay.
That's the way we had to do it.
Now, you mentioned Herbert Allen being the coach when you first started.
For our first coach.
In 7th and 8th grade. Uh-huh. And we know that in 1962 that Coach Allen resigned from H.G. Temple.
Right.
Can you tell me anything about that situation? Why he resigned?
Because I tell you why. Because the team that we had in 61 and 62, they went to the semifinals
uh-huh.
in football. So Coach Allen thought that the team that was coming up the next year wasn't going to be as good as the team that he had before. So he left us and he went to Anyway. And Coach Willie Chris and Coach Archie Seals, they came in the coaches. And we went 10-1.
And that was in that 62-63 year?
Yes, yes, ma'am. We went 10-1. We lost out to Mineola in the Bay District. But during regular season, we went 10-0.
Okay. Now, were these the same coaches until through 66,
no,
through that last year?
Coach Chris, he left us in, he coached 2 years. He coached in 62 and 63, and he coached 63 and 64. And Coach Early, Coach Samuel Harvey came in 64 and 65.
Oh, Coach Harvey?
Coach Samuel Harvey.
Okay, 64 and 65.
Uh-huh.
Now tell me his first name again.
Samuel.
Okay.
Samuel.
Where did he come here from? Do you know?
He come from Prairie View.
Okay. And was he just here that
one year?
School year?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then my senior year, Coach Seals and Coach Early Overstreet.
Okay.
Coached us.
And that was
65 and 66.
Okay. Okay. And also, Coach Willie Ross was his assistant at the N62.
Yeah,
and he left at the same time.
He left the same time that Coach Allen left. He left and he went to Dunbar.
Okay. Were they just offered better positions and, you know, at other schools? Or was there any, you know, particular reason that they left pertaining to H.G. Temple?
I was thinking, my perception on that was that they left because they didn't think we was going to be as good of a team. And they took better positions elsewhere. He went to Anahuac, and Coach Ross went up here at Dunbar, where Coach Ross got a couple of state championships up under his back.
Right.
Under his belt up at Dunbar, up under Coach El Marais.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you started to school around, you said 1954,
uh-huh.
And we know that the school, they built a new school building in 1953. Did you start to school in the new school building?
I started school in the new building.
Okay. Well, I guess that was a pretty big deal to be going, you know, for them to get the new school, and that was your first, you know, first school year, so you
sure
got to
was.
Go. And had it already been there, or was that your first, was that the first year of the new school, your first grade, or had it already been there 1 year then?
It had already been there 1 year.
Okay. But it was still a brand new school when you started.
Sure.
Anything particular you remember, you know, standing out in your mind about, you know, the school then?
The first day of school, I can remember, my mother fixed me my lunch to take to school, and she gave me an apple to give to Miss Massey, the first grade teacher. And so on the way out of the house, my grandmother always had a strap. And I took the strap, grandma's strap, and I took it to school with me. And so when I got to school, I gave Miss Massey the apple. And I told Miss Massey, I said, "Here, Miss Massey, here your strap so you can whoop these little bad kids with." And by the time we went out to recess and come back in, I was the only one, somebody got a whooping with my own strap. That was the first day of school.
And you got a whipping the first day of school with your own strap.
With my own strap.
Now that's quite a story.
Okay, now check this out though. So after school, I went to Miss Massey. Everybody leave out of school. I went back in Miss Massey's room. And I guess you would call it stealing, but I went in that drawer. And I got that strap out of there. And instead of me taking the strap and maybe just throw it away, I took it back home. and my first cousin, Marva Sumner, we both was in the first grade. So she done went home and told Grandma I got a whooping with her strap at school on the first day of school. And when I got back home, I was going to take the strap and just throw it down. And Grandma was sitting there playing like she was asleep. And when I took the strap out of my shorts to put it down, she seen me. And I got another whooping.
For taking her strap.
For taking her strap.
Yeah. Now, you were under Mr. Massey, the principal,
right
then. And what do you remember about him that you could share with me?
Mr. Massey was one of the finest math teachers that you would ever want to run across. And he taught us math all the way through elementary, all the way through high school. And he was a fine young, fine man.
Okay.
And, he really was.
Now, do you remember anything about the school colors changing?
When I got there, when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, they had 5 green jerseys, and they had 3 purple jerseys. So by me being in the 7th and 8th grade, by me being in the 7th grade, the guys in the 8th grade say, y'all going to get the purple jerseys. Because they thought they were going to make the first team basketball. They were going to be on the first team in basketball because we in the 7th grade. But myself and Wayne Gordon, we made the first team, elementary basketball team, in the 7th grade. So I never wore purple and white.
Okay. We know in the early years the school colors were green and white after they, you know, when they acquired accreditation in 42 or 43. They
purple.
Were green and, they
no,
were green and white.
They
first.
Were first and then
and
they
then
changed.
At some point in the 60s, we think the colors changed to purple and white.
Nah.
And
that's incorrect there. They were purple and white. You know, like when my mother and my father was going to school, the school colors was purple and white. And then somewhere along in there, they changed it to Kelly Green and white. We finished in Kelly Green and white.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were green and white when you graduated?
It was green and white when I graduated, and it was green and white when I started. And 60, and that was had to be 59 and 60.
Okay.
60.
Do you know why the colors changed?
From what I gather, Mr. Massey gave Mr. Allen permission to go get some new uniforms. And the uniforms that Mr. Allen chose and picked out, that's how the green and white came in. Because right now you got, say for Jim Ligon, J.L. Rome, and all those guys back there, they don't wear green and white. They wear purple and white. Because when they finished from Temple, that's what the school's colors were then. Uh-huh. So one year we was making purple and white for the older people, older Tigers, and the new Tigers, we wore the green and white.
So when you graduated in 66... what color were y'all?
Green and white.
Green and white.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, what is your educational background after graduation?
Oh, I did 3 years at Texas Southern University.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you came back to Diboll.
Uh-huh.
And have you been here?
Ever since.
Ever since.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Were you living here in Diboll at the time of full integration in 68?
Yes, I was.
Okay. We know from Freedom of Choice began in 1965, and then the athletics were integrated. The senior boys came over to the white school, and then fall of 67, the H.G. Temple High School was integrated, mm-hmm. and then fall of 68 was full integration.
Uh-huh.
And were you living here during those few years?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, what race relations did you experience, you know, growing up in Diboll as far as, you know, before integration, your experience of being around the white community?
We was like stars. We was like professional football players to some of the white kids. When we would come to the white football players, they played on Friday nights, And we played on Saturday nights at Lumberjack Stadium. And when the Temple Tigers would come to the football fields, the little white kids would come up to us and ask us for our autographs in high school. Or they wanted to tote our helmets and stuff like that.
Because y'all were popular.
Because we was popular.
Y'all had a good record.
We had a good record.
Okay.
Very good record.
So you're saying on Friday night, the Lumberjacks played the white football team.
Uh-huh.
And so y'all would go to the football game on Friday night?
Right.
And you were received well?
Received well. Never okay. had no
didn't
problem.
Have any problems. Okay. No. And then on Saturday night, you're saying the Temple Tigers played on the same field?
On the same field.
Okay. And then would the white community come to watch your games?
If they wanted to see some good football, they would be in the stadium.
Okay.
They would be there.
And did everybody get along?
Everybody never had no racial problems or nothing. I never experienced any kind of racial problem. Here in Diabol, all my life, I never had a racial problem.
Okay.
And one of the main reasons that the racial... they had a problem one time when 67, when they first started, 67, 66. And my brother Johnny Carl, they had a riot at the white school. And my brother Johnny Jones, he calmed everything. He come in between everybody. And he settled it out.
Okay. You know? Well, we know that he was one of the first black students to attend the Diabol White School. That
right.
was the year that they integrated the athletic program.
Right.
Which
right.
was the year after you graduated.
Right.
So you were on the last Temple Tiger team.
Right.
So so you're saying that he helped to calm the situation
down? He calmed it down. He come in between all of them and got everything squared off and everything.
Okay.
That was the only racial problem that they had in the beginning.
Okay.
And he stopped it from getting out of hand. They had a big write-up one time in the paper about that.
Okay, okay. Well, how did you come to know about integration? You know,
how did I come to know about it was in 65 when Corey Sears and them, then come the coaches, and that's when we knew that, you know, you could go on your own to the white school. But after we found out that we had to go 6 weeks without playing football, then we backed up and went back to the black school where we could play football.
Okay.
Because if we would have integrated in 65, we had to go to school for 6 weeks. And then if you pass, you'll be able to play sports. So we didn't take that opportunity. We didn't take that chance, so we just went on back to the white school. Then we went 6-3-1.
Okay, we're picking back up now with Mr. Maurice Jones. So you were sharing with me about the football team and mostly about your brother, Johnny Jones, and his experience that first year with integration and that what few problems they had, he was able to, you know, help. He was more the peacemaker is what
he
you're
was.
Saying.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay. How did you feel personally about integration? You know, you were in school in 65. You were a junior, I guess, in the fall of 65, a senior, when they first did the Freedom of Choice. And even though you graduated before full integration, how did you personally feel about the schools integrating?
I wanted to play with the white boys for the simple reason we didn't have enough black guys to make a whole team, you know, because we didn't have substitutes or nothing like that, you know. If I got hurt or something like that, I had to play hurt, you know, regardless of what. I'll never forget we was playing date one night and a guy hit me and bust my eye wide open. I couldn't even come out the game. Coach had to come on the field and they had that spray-on bandage. Then, back then, they sprayed my eye and taped it up. Had to stay in the game. Couldn't come out.
Well, that leads to one of my questions. In a Free Press article dated August 25th, 1966, Mr. Massey had told the school board that he only had 13 boys for football for the upcoming season, which would have been the year after you graduated, and that that was not enough to play an adequate schedule, but that the program was needed to prevent further dropouts from the school. Do you know why the number of athletes had dropped so low? Because the previous year of your last year, according to this photograph here, there's 20 football players here.
Okay.
And then the next year, he reports to the school board that there were only 13.
Okay.
Do you have any idea of why there was such a drop in the numbers?
Okay. It was only three seniors on the 66 team.
Okay.
It was only three seniors, and a couple like James Jones here. The next year, he moved away. He moved to Houston. You know, and a couple more guys, they moved away.
Okay.
That's why it dropped down to 13.
Okay.
Well, and then a lot of other guys that was playing, they was only playing because we encouraged them to come play.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of these guys, these little bitty small guys here, they couldn't get in the game because they was too small. We just used them for, you know, just have substitutes on the sideline. You know, they couldn't fight the fire.
Okay.
You know.
Well, due to that, you know, the school board voted to integrate the athletic program in the fall of 66. And that's when the senior boys, including your brother, Johnny, went over to play, you know, at the White School. But I was just curious to, you know, if there was any reason for the drop in numbers. And that's really the reason that they integrated the football team, was due to Mr. Massey's, you know, being concerned about not being able to have the football program.
Yes, sir.
And so that was just an interesting fact, I thought, that, you know, the numbers dropped. He just didn't have enough for the team.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But with your experience playing, y'all had low numbers, too. You really didn't have enough to fill in if somebody got hurt, what you're saying.
No, that's right. We had to play 48 minutes.
Okay. Now, was there a time in school where in any of your classes that you took, that the numbers were low and they had to combine classes or bring students, you know, to make enough to have a certain class?
And,
do you remember anything about that?
Yes. Our senior, we had six boys and six girls. So we had 12 seniors my senior year.
So. Okay. Do you, and you graduated in 66.
Uh-huh.
And can you name your graduating class?
Yes, I can. The boys was Maurice Jones, Wayne Gordon, Leonard Teal, Jimmy Lee Hunt, James Ligon, and Roosevelt Young. Those were the six boys. And the six girls was Lois Davis, Betty Jo Jackson, Lois Betty Jo, Eunice Ann, Glenna Gambrell, Annie Pearl Daniels. There's one more girl, one more. I can't think of her right now. I need it.
Okay, well, maybe you'll think of her.
Yeah.
We're trying to compile a list of the graduating classes, you know, to so we'll have that for the record. So.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So how did your parents feel about integration? Because you had younger siblings in school. And so, you know, just being at home, even though you were graduating, and, you know, was there any talk at home about, you know, the next school year with the high school integrating? Say, because your sister Minnie Faye went to high school at the White School her senior year. So, you know, just what was the talk at home about, you know, how your parents felt and how your brothers and sisters felt about integration taking place?
Well, it was something that I felt that, well, they never did talk that much about it because it was a new experience, you know. And then when Johnny came first. See, when Johnny went to, when he integrated in 66, Minnie was still at Temple.
Right.
You know, so it was but Johnny, he was always a super student, and he was a super athlete. And once he got over there and they watched him go through the transactions that he had to go through, but then everything just smoothed out.
Okay.
Because after that first ruffle that the white kids and the black kids like to start at the route, and Johnny, he just come in between and got all the black guys back and got the white guys back, and he stood in there between them and he just squashed everything. And after he did that, just seemed like integration and dialogue went smoother here than I know anywhere else.
Okay. So, and I guess, you know, the reason I'm asking the question is because of the fact that you did have an older brother at the white school, and then, you know, you and your sisters were still at Temple School. So, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, in the evening when everybody came home from school, you know, Johnny was going through the integration already. So that I was just curious of, you know, what the conversation was at home that night, if there was any big issues that he was concerned about or shared, or, you know, with integration. And that was my reason for the question, since, you know, your family had children in all the situations that were going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he pretty much set the stage, and y'all really didn't have any fears about it.
No, sure didn't.
Okay. Now, you graduated in 1966, but I wanted to ask you anything particular that you want to share with me about a specific football game that's very memorable to you during your H.G. Temple Tiger days?
The Weargate game. The Weargate.
Okay, tell me about that.
That's the last game that was ever played for the H.G. Temple High School.
Oh, okay.
And we went to Weargate, and when we got off the bus at Weargate football team came over when you pull in, they want to come size you up and everything. So Weargate football players, they all come over to see us get off the bus. And when they seen all, it wasn't but 16 of us at this game, got off the bus. And when the 16 guys got off the bus, Weargate football players, they come over there and they ask us, say, where's y'all football team at? You see what I'm saying? They said, where your football team at? And Coach Seals said, this is us. They started laughing. They laughed at us, started grinning. Thought they had a piece of cake. We didn't have not one man on this team here. It's the last of us. Nobody on this team weighed 200 pounds. Feel me? Weargate had 25 men weighed 250 pounds or more. And together they had 35 peoples on their football team. We only had 16. And we would come off the field and score with 20-20. And why this game is so memorable to me, that I never knew that when the game was over, this guy said, man, we beat y'all. Man, how you beat us and the score is 20-20? I didn't know that I was talking to Ernie Holmes of the Pittsburgh Steelers with 2 Super Bowl rings. And after the game was over, we could eat steaks, chicken, or whatever we wanted after the basketball game. All we had to do was just tell them what we wanted. But since we was in, that's in Dibble, but when we was at Weargate, we like hot dogs. We like to eat hot dogs after the football game. You see what I'm saying? We just want hot dogs. We didn't want no steaks and chicken. So I went to the window to see what they were serving. So they were serving spaghetti and ground meat, you know, and I got my plate. That's all, man. We don't eat no stuff like this. Not knowing Ernie Holmes, not knowing him, and not knowing he know me. Now, Ernie Holmes, he wore 265 pounds. You know what he called me? He said, Big John, give me your plate. And I walked over to Ernie Holmes, and I held my paper plate, and I dumped them spaghettis off in his plate. He said, "Thank you. Thank you, Big John. I weighed 175 pounds, and he weighed 265, and he called me a big man."
And that was after the Weirgate game?
That was after the Weirgate.
And that was football game?
That was football game.
And the score was 20-20?
20-20.
So they left it a tie?
Left it a tie.
Oh.
We could have kicked the extra point and won the game, but the crossbar was so high up, it was like a homemade goal post. And we didn't kick the extra point to beat them.
Oh.
Went out on side.
Now, what was one of the Temple Tigers' best year in the record during the days that you played?
My freshman year, we went 10-1.
Okay.
By district champs.
Okay, by district champs. And was that as far as you could go then?
No, we lost out in the by district game.
Okay. In the district game?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you didn't know you were playing against a professional, future professional player,
never knew it, yeah.
Well, that's neat.
Uh-huh.
Now, growing up here in Diboll, and again, we're talking about the years of integration, did you ever experience any race-related incidents within the community?
No, I tell you what brought Diboll together first, integration and experience and stuff like that is when the sawmill burned down. I wish I knew exactly what year the sawmill burned down.
I believe it was 1968 or 69.
Okay, that year there, Diboll showed their true colors. Huh? When the blacks and the whites came together, everybody was racing around out there around that sawmill trying to save it and help put the fire out. And that's when the true colors really come out in Diboll.
Okay. Well, you know, the men working in the sawmill was pretty much integrated anyway.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So,
But when the mill burned down and you seen the whites and the blacks, and the Spanish people wasn't even hardly here then.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
So what you're saying, everybody just came together and worked together
as one.
And you just remember that.
Yeah.
From the sawmill fire, that everybody working together, it's really made an impression on you.
Right.
Then.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, that's when that, but we never did. We had the pine bar here. We knew that when we go to the pine bar, we knew we had to go to the back, give order.
Right.
We knew when we went to the picture show here, we knew we had to go upstairs. You see what I'm saying?
So you just knew that that was the normal,
that was
and everybody
normal
was
way.
Fine with that?
Everybody was fine with that.
Okay.
We had a Dairy Queen in Diboll before Dairy Queen become Dairy Queen.
Yeah, it was the Dairy Cream.
The Dairy Queen.
Cream.
Yeah, okay,
Dairy
the Dairy
Cream.
Queen. Okay.
Over there by the old Muck Warner Station.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, we knew that the whites go around to the front one, and we knew the blacks go around to the side one.
Okay.
So it wasn't no problem with that. You know? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we dealt with what we had to deal with.
Now, you were probably too little, I guess, since you were born 47. You don't remember ever going to the commissary store, I guess.
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
The commissary store, right here, the big office.
Mm-hmm. What became the office later, but...
Yeah, but that was the commissary store.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go in them, you know.
Okay.
Sure did.
And what businesses do you remember going to as a young child in the black community?
In the black community, we had a cafe and a store down there on every corner.
Had a lot of them, huh?
I could name five. We had Mr. Mitchell's Cafe. We had Miss Marcella's. She had a hamburger stand. We had the church cafeteria. We had Mr. Gene Clark. He had a little candy store. Mr. Pat Mathis had a hamburger stand. Mr. Joe Diamond on the pipeline, he had a cafe. Mr. Artie Dewberry, he had a little old store you go in, buy candy and stuff, so forth. Mr. Charlie King had a cafe. And Mr. Rogers had the cafe in the hotel. Then Mr. Mitchell, That's about 8 or 9. And right now, it's 2010. And it's not one store or anything over there. But back then, we had plenty of places to go to buy different things and items and stuff like that.
Now, you mentioned the Rogers Cafe, and it was a skating rink at one time, too, so you remember that.
Right.
But you mentioned about it being a hotel, and I was not aware of that until a recent interview.
Uh-huh.
So what do you remember about the hotel part of that?
The cafe was at the bottom, and they had rooms that they rented out to people that wanted to live up there. They had about 8 or 9 rooms upstairs, and they would rent them rooms out to people, you know, to live in.
Right. Huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. So as a young child, going back just a second, you might have, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but what experience did you have as a young child being around the white community?
My mother kept the Farley Boys. So she was like babysitting, and she would bring Jimmy and his brother over to Jimmy Farley, and what's the other boy? Tommy. Jimmy and Tommy Farley. You read about them in the dodgeball, playing football. And they was real small, and mother would always bring Tommy and Jimmy to the house, you know, and we would play with them. You know, and we never did have no problem.
Okay.
Or nothing like that, or like going across the tracks or something like that. Or we never did be bothered, or nobody never tried to miss
it. So you had white friends growing up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Also.
So then after integration, what changes do you remember that maybe stand out the most to you? You know, that you were something that you were able to do after integration that you had not been able to do before integration?
To go in the front doors, and especially at the Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Because you know who owned the Dairy Queen? The owner of the
Dairy Cream?
The Dairy Queen.
At that time, who was that?
Mr. J. Bones.
Okay.
Mr. J. Bones was one of the baddest men that ever come through Diabolo.
And he owned the Dairy Cream at that time?
Yeah, and he was the law.
So then you were able to go to establishments and go into the front door.
Right.
And that's what you remember the most, yeah.
And then
that would be pretty memorable. Yeah.
And then, you know, just because of integration, we used to go and we like sitting upstairs anyhow because you got a better view upstairs. But just because it was integration, we went downstairs. But after you get downstairs, that's really wasn't where we wanted to be. We just went downstairs because we could. But if I had to go to the show now, and if it was over there across the street, and I paid to go in there, I would rather go upstairs.
Okay, you're talking about the picture show.
The picture show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a favorite school memory that you want to share with me?
Oh, let's see. There's so many of them.
I guess football is your favorite thing.
Yeah, but, football,
and we
basketball.
We've talked about that a lot, but anything else that you remember?
Basketball. That was my heart and soul.
Okay.
My junior in basketball. Matter of fact, in all athletes, I never played on the second team or nothing. I don't even know what it feel like being on the second team or coming off the bench.
So you were always first team.
Always first team.
Even in your junior high years.
When I was in the 7th and 8th grade, I was on the first team.
Right.
I know.
So you really enjoyed basketball more than football.
Well, both is a combination of both, you know, just because I was good in both of them.
Okay.
Many was better, you know, but I was good.
Did y'all have competitions between each other?
No, she could just outshoot me. she could go. She was really my little 25 or 30 points I hit a game. It wasn't nothing about her 40 point average. She averaged 40 points.
Yeah, we've read that in the newspaper. She had quite a record.
Yeah,
she put Diabolo on the map as far as girls basketball.
Yeah, that's right. And when she hit that 73 points, I think the most I ever hit in one game was 35. When she hit that 73, that took the cake. It was just, that game, that was the most memorable game, and it was against Grofton. And back then, you know, we had the kind of clock in basketball that go to 99.
Now, are you talking about mini-phase game that you scored all the
points
in? Okay.
They play first, okay? The girls always play first. We play the second game. So they put up 100. That's when she hit the 73 points. But then after the scoreboard got to 99, they had to start keeping score on paper.
Oh.
So we both broke the clock on Groveton.
Oh, okay.
Each one of us scored.
So y'all actually traveled together because
right.
you were in high school and she was in high school.
Right.
So the boys and girls basketball, they would travel to
the same
school for out-of-town games, but the girls played first and the boys played second.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the way it went. See, like now I think the girls, I don't know if they do that like that now. I don't know if the girls go their way and the boys go their way, but everything we did, it was always the girls play first and
right.
the boys play last game.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I see. Now, when y'all travel to out-of-town games, and this is you graduated in 66,
mm-hmm.
so schools were not fully integrated, but when you traveled to out-of-town games, were any schools already integrated?
No.
No. All the teams that y'all played were still segregated?
Right.
Black teams.
Right.
Or just all black teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we know you graduated in 66, but in a conversation we had earlier, you mentioned Coach Simmons. So were you ever under Coach Simmons in any way? Okay. Okay. He came after that year after you graduated.
Well, no. He was here. Remember when,
remember
when I told you we came over and he said we couldn't integrate until we could play football, but you got to go to school for 6 weeks.
Okay, he was here at the White School as
right.
a coach, but
uh-huh.
you were still at HG Temple, and the
right.
athletic program was not integrated at that time.
Uh-uh.
But you did have a conversation with Coach Simmons, and you knew him.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, tell me about what you knew about him and. And because he was the coach at the time, the next year when they integrated the football team.
Right, he was there before they integrated.
Right, but I mean, he was the coach of that first integrated team.
Team, yeah.
Yeah.
But when we tried to integrate, he told us, well, y'all can't do it like that. You got to go to school the first 6 weeks, and then if you pass, then you'll be able to play. But if we miss 6 weeks. The first 6 weeks, we done missed 6 football games. So our season's just about over. So that's why we backed up.
So y'all just went ahead and played with Temple Tigers?
Yes, we went on back and we were the Temple Tigers.
Okay.
That year.
That first year before they integrated the athletics.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is there anything you'd like to share with me that I haven't asked you about today?
No, it's been a pleasure for you to have me here and to bring up all these good memories, because if I had a warning, I could turn back the hands of time, that's where I would go back to.
Your Temple Tiger days,
Temple Tiger days.
Well, it seems from all the interviews that y'all certainly had a good time at school with your football team and basketball team. So.
It sure did.
Yeah. And
I never forget, we wasn't really big on track in 65 and 66. It was about 2 weeks before track for the district track meet. And we hadn't even practiced for no track or nothing. So Coach Seals came up to us and he said, hey, y'all want to go to the district track meet? I said, what? I said, yeah, the district track meet is within 2 weeks. So we got out there and we practiced track for 2 weeks. And after we practiced track for 2 weeks and went to the district track meet, we won second place in the district, and we sent two peoples. We sent my brother Johnny Jones and Johnny and Harold Phipps. Harold went to the state in the open quarter, and Johnny went to the state in broad jump. And we hadn't practiced for 2 weeks.
Oh, and what year was that?
That's in 66.
66, uh-huh. Your senior year.
Yeah, senior year.
Okay.
We sent practiced 2 weeks and sent two people to the state.
Well, that's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
That's wonderful. Okay, well, Mr. Jones, I really appreciate you coming today and participating in this interview and helping us gather the history of the H.G. Temple School. And that concludes our interview.
Okay, thank you. That's all right. I like that.